So what can you learn from infertility? What can you take away from such a trying struggle that's redemptive? Today, you're going to meet a couple that says the hard times of their infertility journey have actually helped carry them through other difficult seasons in their life. So it's a story about lessons learned. Hi, I'm Mark Mellinger, and this is Hope, Faith, and Infertility, a podcast from Southeastern Fertility in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can find out more about us by going to southeasternfertility.org. And my guests today are Jacob and Beth Wynn. So good to have you two here, and your twins are about to turn 13 here in just a few weeks. So that is awesome. We love hearing about that. Why don't we start here with your infertility struggle? Obviously, it was a while back with your twins being almost teenagers now, but tell us a little bit about what the road was like for you.
Okay, sure. We had been married for a few years and I was in graduate school. So we, knew that we wanted to wait till I got finished with that before we started trying to, start a family. And finished school. I was in my first year of work and thought, I remember talking to Jacob about it, and I said, I would think I was pretty irregular. So I might need to, get off. An oral contraceptive a little earlier than when we wanted to start trying, and just in case it takes a while, and then it ended up taking 2.5 years. So I was my OBGYN at the time was really great. Early, she diagnosed me with PCOS, and we did a little bit of oral meds. At the beginning, but she was really great about not waiting forever to go ahead and refer me to a reproductive endocrinologist.
And of course, that reproductive endocrinologist was Dr. Keenan here at Southeastern
Yes.
Fertility. So, talk about your time with us.
Yeah, it was great. She kind of gave me the options at the time. We're about three doctors in the Knoxville area, but we had friends who had used Dr. Keenan in the past and really had a really positive experience. And we kind of knew that he was a Christian and knew that that was part of the practice that, and would line up with our values. And so we did have a, we also had a really positive experience there. Do you want to share kind of?
I mean, it was getting connected with Dr. Keenan. I mean, that was definitely a highlight in our, in the process. It was frustrating we were having to go there, but then the experience and the, with everybody that was there, is very, very professional, very encouraging, very realistic. So that was frustrating part of the process. We were having to go there, but it was ended up being the thing that launched us forward.
Was it difficult to get pregnant once you were here? I know it was a long road to get there. Was it a long road once you got here? For some people, it is. For others, it's not.
We had only tried, I think, Clomid, maybe a couple of cycles with my regular doctor. And so, I'm sure the procedures and protocols are different from, 13 years ago, but we started doing some testing. We started with some oral fertility meds. And I ended up actually calling the office last week because I couldn't remember, but we ended up doing six IUIs. Well, we did eight total. And we did six with oral fertility medications and the HCG shots and ultrasounds to look at follicles and all those things. And we also had, I had surgery, a laparoscopy. And then when we went to the oral, I mean, the IV, the injectable fertility meds, that's what made the difference for us. So that first round of the injectable fertility meds and HCG and all the monitoring and all that's what took.
And that brought you Davis and Lily Claire, your boy girl twins, who, as we mentioned, are about to turn 13. But
Well, they actually turned 13 last week.
okay, so
So
they turned 13 last week. So they were about to turn 13 when you contacted me. It's actually happened now. Well, hey, congratulations and good luck surviving the teenage years.
Thank you.
My kids are early 20s, so I just got past that route. And, you know, I think you guys will do just fine. You seem like you got good heads on your shoulders. But, you know, that's not easy. It's not easy having a pregnancy with twins. Talk about that delivery. Almost always they're born prematurely. And so it's sort of touch and go from the time they're born, which what you normally think of as a happy time actually ends up being quite a test of faith. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. And do you want to?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, everything was somewhat normal, you know, once we actually got pregnant and seemed to be on the right path and everything was fine. And then one day I was leaving for work and she was cleaning the house. And I was like, you need to probably rest a little bit. Just, I'm just feeling some pressure. I just want to. Well, anyway, long story short, I guess 4 hours later, we're in the OR at 29 weeks, you know, and having the twins. And then, so it was, that's why, you know, we talked about the fertility kind of preparing us for everything. So we did the fertility and then ended up with them in the NICU for 8 weeks. So it was fun.
It was fun. it was maybe fun in some ways, joyous in some ways, but I know that's not fun to see, yeah. You know, babies who are born, lower birth weight, born so early. 29 weeks is pretty early. Talk about what was going through your head and the conversations you both had with God during this time.
Yeah. I mean, I think the day that they were born, I would say was the scariest day of my life. I had not felt fear like that before. And I remember that night when we finally were able to see them. I mean, we saw them for, you know, just a brief second in the OR. I had a C-section. They were both breech. And of course, you know, countless team members in the OR with us, with two NICU teams. The neonatologist, I asked, I said, what are their chances of survival at this time, at this, not 29 weeks? And he said, it's in the 90s. And so I remember thinking, okay, like they're probably going to survive. We just don't know what the outcomes will be, if they'll be, you know, have developmental delays or be healthy or whatever. And I do remember being grateful that they were going to survive, but also just talking to God about, like, why did this have to be hard too? Like, you know, getting pregnant was difficult and now this is going to be difficult too. And it sort of felt like we were having more of our fair share of trials, which again, we didn't know what the future would hold and we've had even more trials, but it does test your faith and shows that God is faithful, because now we have two 13-year-olds that are very healthy. They're not perfect and we've had some bumps in the road for sure. But they're just, you know, really great examples of reminders of, like, hey, God's got this. He will take care of us.
And Jacob, I'd like you to speak to it a little bit as well. It's helpful to have the husband's perspective on this. Infertility is always a rough road. So you first have that road, years of that. And how do you think it prepared you for this specific trial of having the twins born in the NICU, born really premature?
It's, I'm trying to figure the best way to describe it. I always kind of describe that journey from infertility and the NICU is like a roller coaster ride. But it's in another way. I was just thinking about it is, it's like condensing, you know, 10, 20 years of ups and downs into a year, you know, into a very small. So it's just the emotional ups and downs of that, you know, watching her go through that physically, emotionally, you know, and just trying to be there and then trying to back off, you know, it's very challenging. It's very up and down. It's very unpredictable, but again, you know, as you look back, I've never looked back and seen that God has not been faithful. Mm. And so that is just, it's a constant reminder. I actually keep a picture of my daughter on my phone as my home screen as a reminder of God's faithfulness. And it's my ring on her hand when I think it was the third day or something of her in the NICU. So I just keep that as a reminder.
It's a great reminder. And I appreciate too, how you spoke to it can be a very difficult, and this doesn't have to be even anybody who's gone through infertility, but anytime your wife is pregnant and delivering a baby and in that season of life, it can be sort of an odd season to be the husband, because you're not always sure. You want to be there, you want to be available, but there's a sort of a skittishness, not knowing if you're doing it right, you know, wondering if you're pressing too hard.
It's like a big bubble around her, and you're like, am I gonna pop it if I ask this question or say this thing, you know? So
there was probably a more sensitive bubble when I was on the fertility medication. That probably was probably a little more sense. I don't remember that. I don't think I was the most pleasant to be around, but
no comment. I don't remember it either.
He's going to plead the fifth, but yeah, he was great. He was very supportive when they were in the NICU and helping me, you know, whatever was least stressful for me, you know, he was really good about that.
Well, it's an important point. I think each side of the equation, both husband and wife need to have that willingness to emotionally bend a little bit throughout this process, and cut the other a little bit of grace, a little bit of slack. That's an important point to bring up. You know, I don't want to delve too much into your trials, but you told me, hey, life has brought us a lot of different trials. And this whole season, you can see how God has used it redemptively. He used what happened all those years ago to help prepare you for what was ahead. Talk about some of the hard times that were still ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob's had some health issues, started with some back pain, in depth, I mean, just kind of trying to summarize is that he has some degenerative disc issues. And so a lot of procedures and surgeries on his back. I think we've gone through over 20 surgeries since we've been married. We've been married 20 years. And so no one expects that. Nothing that was life threatening, but it definitely impacts, you know, our quality of life. He is in chronic pain every day still, but is functions really great, has had a great attitude most of the time. Both of it, you know, it is a big impact, but I think when things are really, really difficult, I have to force myself to look at, okay, how has God proven himself faithful? He's not abandoned us. Look, we have like two living, breathing reminders, you know, in our home to show that difficulty is okay. And I think, you know, I think sometimes our society and culture kind of maybe unintentionally show like everything's supposed to be perfect. You make the right decisions, you do the right things, then good things will happen. I think that was something that I kind of had to get over, that expectation of, well, we've had our share of difficulties. Now things will be easier. And that's not happened. But it has grown my faith. It's made me remind me that I'm not in control, that God is, and he does allow pain and adversity and suffering in our lives, but there's a purpose for all of it.
Well, that's the thing. We know that he is using whatever pain and adversity we have in our lives to shape us. And I found that pretty encouraging as well, because if it seems like there's pain and adversity that never goes away, if it seems like it's something you're always going to carry throughout this life, to me, okay, that's a good sign that I'm in his grip. I mean, most fairly mature believers that I know do have sort of an enduring struggle, an enduring stress. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's a combination of the two. It's like life never gets easy. I think because he's shaping us to be more like Christ so we can be best fitted for service in his kingdom someday.
Yeah, it's all in the Bible. I mean, if you read the stories of the Bible, I mean, perseverance, pain, difficulty, all that stuff, you know, molds us and shapes us to what he wants us to be. And, you know, one of the things I've learned is anything that is typically going to be good or worth it is worth fighting for. There's going to be a fight. It's not going to be, oh, we're going to just do this and this is going to happen. It's going to be a fight, but it's worth it.
I appreciate your honesty too about your chronic pain, Jacob. Yeah, I would probably, if that was me, I'm sure I'd say the same thing. I do well most of the time, but I'm a human being. I'm going to complain some. I'm going to ask why me. I'm going to think this today, I just don't feel like dealing with this. How do you, you just gave us the answer a little bit, but drill down a little bit deeper on how you make sense of this, something you didn't ask for, when you're in the throes of it as still a pretty, I think I'm probably a little bit older than you, so I can say still a pretty young man.
I've tried to stop making sense of it. I think it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I understand your question is not a bad question at all, but I think for me, it just, this doesn't make sense. You know, this, especially as you look around and counter other people, but then also realize that we all carry something. It's all relative. From, you know, people say, well, I don't know how you deal with that or how you deal with that. I was like, I don't know how you deal with this. You know, I think God puts things in our lives and it's all relative to what we're walking through. So just trying to have that sort of attitude and allow the bad days, allow the questioning, allow the frustration. With God can take it. He's big enough to take it. And, but also to praise and rejoice. And really it's a reflection of what our entire lives will be, is open hands, you know, is just surrendering to what he wants for us and know that it's, that he has our best interest and his glory in mind.
And there's no doubt that when you're walking through this stuff, the thing you feel, even if you can't figure it out, and you won't, God's bigger than us, you're not going to figure it out, but he does give you at least just enough of his presence. And I think there's a good lesson for us in that, you know, God gives us his presence. So therefore we can be present when other people are struggling. It doesn't mean that we have to resolve things for them. It probably doesn't even mean that we should, but has this helped the two of you in terms of being present, being better listeners? It's so rare to find people who listen.
I think so. I think, and I think God, I mean, I know there's scripture in the Bible, it talks about helping other people who have suffered and what you've gone through. And so, God put people in my life that went through infertility, friends who'd gone through infertility before me, to kind of help me have somebody to ask questions to. What did you do in this situation? How long did your doctor wait to do this test? Those kinds of things. And then I've had people behind me where I can do that for them. I had a friend, a coworker who was struggling because they were going to have to look at possibly IVF. And I pulled up a picture of some of my friends and said, all these babies were either IUI or IVF babies. They're still real babies. They're still, you know, no one can walk down the, you know, sidewalk and see that they're different. They're still, even though it might not be how you expected for them to come into the world. And so I think that's one of the things. Yeah. I think going through hard things, like we can't pretend to be perfect or everything's perfect. It's exhausting. So I think we both try to be really authentic and genuine. And I think that draws people to both of us. I think people have appreciated that. I think they've made comments about, like, thank you for sharing, at times, just because I think it makes people more comfortable about sharing their hardships.
Yeah, I think being able to listen to somebody is getting them to be able to talk and about the things. Also, I think just being vulnerable and being honest and sharing your story invites others, helps others invite yours into theirs, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
Yep. There's power in being heard, for sure. What are you hoping? Well, let me phrase it a different way. Everybody is intentional about their parenting in some way or another. In terms of how you're being intentional about the lessons you teach Davis and Lily Claire. How are you talking with them? What are you hoping to pass along to them when it comes to your own story and the struggles that are contained within it?
Just the redemptive process, I think, in that, you know, we're obviously not the best at it all the time of being intentional, but just having honest conversations. You know, for a long time, we tried to kind of hide my, you know, I've got to go to the emergency room, or who's having this surgery. Let's just kind of hide it from them. And then now it's just kind of like, well, let's invite them in and be honest and let them see what we're walking through and see that sometimes it's really hard and sometimes it's has a good result, and that there's, this is life. Let's not try to protect them too much from what life really is. Because I think some of us is not nothing against our parents, but just unprepared how we were kind of emotionally just for this kind of, you know, for these kind of things enter our lives.
And God's faithfulness, you know, you said his faithfulness has been with you the whole time. He's proven it. I think an important thing to walk away from an interview like this is with is to say that there's always joy. He's always faithful. Faithfulness does not always equal getting what you want. In other words, just because, you know, it doesn't mean God's not faithful if you don't get what you want. I think that's how a lot of times you'll hear these stories and people will be like, well, God is faithful. Yeah. And it's easy to step back after they got the result that they wanted. But what you're saying, and this is one reason I really appreciate this conversation. You're saying, no. His faithfulness is not dependent upon the results and getting what I ask for.
Yeah. I think I had a friend reach out that was going through some medical issues. And she said, I wanted to reach out to you because you have seen God answer prayers and also not answer prayers, and wanted to kind of, she was just wrestling with that of like, how do you live life well and still honor God when he doesn't answer your prayers? And so, and I think like Jacob said, holding your hands open, like we can have a plan about how our life is going to be, but to hold that really loosely and be receptive to whatever God provides for you, for your good, whether it feels good or not at the time.
Yeah. He's giving us what we would give ourselves if we loved ourselves as much as he does. And that's a hard thing for us to try to figure out. And of course, yeah, I love how you say it really is just almost a fool's errand to figure out what he's up to. We don't know. Right. We just try to come alongside, right? And follow. Exactly. Yeah. I love it. Thank you two so much, Jacob and Beth. This has been a wonderful conversation. And I love how God has worked so redemptively through your infertility. And of course, we love that you have two now teenage twins as a result of your time with Dr. Keenan and Southeastern Fertility. If you're listening to this podcast and interested in checking out Southeastern Fertility's services, you can go to southeasternfertility.org. Again, that's southeasternfertility.org. Dr. Keenan's co-director, Dr. John Gordon, offers free 15-minute telemedicine consultations where he will take some time to listen to your story if you're brand new. So there's place on the website, very easy to find, where you can just reach out and get yours scheduled. And that's, there's absolutely no commitment, just another set of eyes on your situation. And it's our privilege to offer that service. And maybe Southeastern Fertility ends up being the road for you. So that is it for this edition of Hope, Faith, and Infertility. I'm Mark Bellinger, and we will talk to you next time.